Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos, all thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Welcome to our very first episode of Kingdom Chat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. And if you listened to season 2 of Holla Chat and you got all the way to the finale, you know, or the final episode of season 2, you know that we received an email from a listener, from an Aitney, who was very curious about Kingdom. Said that people are always talking about Kingdom and what a terrible time it was, but they didn't know. They didn't know what was so terrible about Kingdom or what it was. And we had a brief discussion about it, just sort of an overview of all the terrible things. But Rachel decided that wasn't enough suffering and we needed to just really get in there and relive it together. And that is what we are doing.
I love to suffer for my art. So I thought it was right. So we watched the first episode together. The first episode. And I have to say, it is a really bad... Actually, let's go into a little bit of the history. So before Kingdom, there was Road to Kingdom, which I think we talked about. And then there was also Queendom, right? Queendom was a like a general hit in Korea. Yeah. Everyone watched it. Everyone loved it. These great stages came out of it. And like all of the people who performed on it, they got this big boost in popularity. Like it was a literal hit. Everyone watched Kingdom. And I think the same is true with Road to Kingdom. Maybe less people, but it was still like a hit with the general population. It wasn't just fans of the groups that were watching it. It wasn't like only Two Moons tuned in to and whoever else was on Road to Kingdom. I don't know, but One Us was. I know that.
One Us was, Golden Child was, The Boys. I want to say like Very.
That sounds familiar.
But I don't remember anybody else. I do know that one thing that Road to Kingdom did that Kingdom did not do was that they eliminated people. If you didn't like make a certain score or you were voted the, if you got the, I think if you got last place 2 weeks in a row, you got eliminated from the show. So a lot more pathos going on in Road to Kingdom. The thing about Road to Kingdom was that, well, one of, backing up, one of the qualifiers to get on both Queendom and Kingdom is that you had to have won one of Mnet's music shows.
Yes.
Which their music show is Ikigayo?
No.
No. What's their music show? The other one. M Countdown.
Yeah.
It's right there
like,
in the name.
M thing.
So you have to have won on M Countdown, and ATs just so happened to have won once, but the boys hadn't won, the boys and One Us and Very and all of them. So they competed on Road to Kingdom for the honor and the privilege of competing again on Kingdom Legendary War.
What? Just, that is so sad to to me.
What a terrible thing. And you know they're doing it again. I think it might be done now, but they did do a Road to Kingdom, another one.
Yeah.
That Zykers was supposed to be on, but then they just...
But then isn't One Us on it again?
Are they?
I think so. And they have a win, so I didn't really understand. Like, I think maybe they changed the whole thing.
That must be it.
I hope this show sucks, honestly. No offense I have, to these I groups, heard, but...
I have heard bad things about it. People said that it was... were already complaining after, like, the first episode. So I was glad that Zykers were not subjected to the nonsense again. Mm-hmm. But it was bad because they really could have used the exposure.
Yeah. So I don't remember where we were going, but I thought we should get that
whole
history.
Well, we were talking about how Road to Kingdom and Queendom were big hits. And right. That is, I think that's important context for how people reacted to Kingdom Legendary War.
Right. Kingdom was not a hit. Not even a little bit. It got like less than 0.5% viewership in Korea. Like it was not a show that people were watching. And it did come out during COVID, so there was no live audience, which I also think is different than I don't know about Road to Kingdom, but Queendom have
I feel like they both had live audiences.
Okay, so that was different. And like at the time when the show was recording, they could not do concerts, they could not do fan meets, and I feel like that is important context because three of the groups that are on this show would not be on this show if COVID hadn't existed. There is no way that Icon, SF9, or B2B would have been on this show if COVID wasn't a thing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Stray Kids would have been on it, ATEEZ would have been on it, The Boys would have been on it, just because those are newer, less established groups, and a lot of times they have to take whatever opportunities are given to them, whether or not they really want to. But Icon had a huge fan base, a successful career, same with SF9. But I think, and you can see it in the show, that those groups in particular, they talk about like how they wanted to do something for their fans. It's kind of a time when they didn't have any other things to be doing as a musical group. And so I think that is important context when you think about why some of these groups are on this show. And also the fact that those other shows were big hits. So if Icon wanted to get bigger or SF9 wanted to be more of a global group, then perhaps this show would give them that push. As it turned out, I'm not sure this show did anything for anyone except for maybe ATEEZ and Stray Kids.
Sorry, I was looking up facts. I know that we're really allergic to facts on this show, but I was trying to confirm that Road to Kingdom did not have a live audience. I feel not confident that they had a live audience.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that show happened in 2020, and so that definitely would have had a live audience, right? Because Queendom was 2019, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it would depend on it, when it was recorded in 2020. If it was January and February, then it's very possible it had a live audience, or at least a live audience for the first episode, and then afterwards, no. So it just kind of depends on when it was recorded.
Well, hard to know.
Anyways, you know, keep that context in mind as we go into it. So the first episode is so awkward and unwatchable. I swear to God, I had my dog next to me and I just like kept hiding my face in her big ol' extra skin. It was just horrible because it's like Mnet wants it to be awkward. Like,
yeah,
they don't do anything to kind of like help the groups or make it a smooth introduction. They just like make these groups walk out, don't even really tell them how to sit or how to interact. And at this point, and still, ATEEZ is the baby group. They have the least experience as a group, so they are every single other group is considered their seniors. And, you know, that's really important in Korean culture, like treating your seniors with respect. And you can see ATEEZ struggle with how to treat their seniors with respect and, you know, be in this type of variety show. Like, they don't know how to introduce themselves. They don't, they're awkward. It's super hard to watch.
It's very, very awkward. I feel like I need to set the scene here. For anyone who hasn't seen the show, empty warehouse. Like, it's cold, it's sterile, like, tile floors, hard surfaces, on both sides of this like long rectangular room.
Mm-hmm.
On like the long edges, they've got like black steps that are serving as like bleachers for the boys to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got like a screen wall behind them that is supposed to like show the name of the group that where they're supposed to be sitting. Yeah. So when the show opens, it doesn't begin with any kind of fanfare. It opens quietly with each group just walking awkwardly onto set and trying to figure out where they're supposed to sit. And then, like, greeting the other teams. So the boys come out first,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about how, oh, memories from Road to Kingdom. So this was the, it seems that this was the same, like, set as Road to Kingdom was. So that tells me that it probably did not have an audience, because there's not really, like, an audience space in this particular studio. So they're like, oh, wow, this is familiar. And then the screen lights up with where, with their name, their, like, little symbol thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they know where they're supposed to go sit. And then Stray Kids comes in after them, and Stray Kids and the boys have kind of like a friendly conversation.
Yeah,
it's chill. It's a little bit awkward, but it's mostly chill. They sit right next to the boys. Then ATEEZ comes in.
Uh-huh.
And the hush that falls over the room is so weird to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, why aren't, like, these other groups are their seniors. Supposedly, they're supposed to be friends with these other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So why was it so, like, cold and awkward? So ATEEZ come in and they do their, like, formal greeting.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in, they introduce themselves, and then there's, like, a delay where they're not so sure what they're supposed to do, because their little symbol that's supposed to show
come up and show on.
It doesn't come on. There's like a delay. And so Hong Jung is like just kind of standing there. And then finally it comes, he's like, oh, here's our, let's go sit down. And so they go sit and everyone's like dead quiet. And Mnet, like the producers, the editors even like remark, they're like, oh, ATEEZ is like, everything's gotten heavy now that ATEEZ is here. And I'm like,
yeah, like there's some big black cloud on this show.
I'm like, I'm sorry, this better just be other groups feeling intimidated right now. That's the only thing I'm going to accept. So then B2B come in, and it's like instant relief, because B2B are here just for the vibes, the vibes and the lulls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they're super chill and like talking to the other groups and like breaking the ice a little bit. And I think SF9 comes in, or I don't remember who comes in next. It's either Icon or SF9.
It's SF9 because Icon comes last. SF9
comes in, and they're all wearing suits, and everybody's remarking on how tall and handsome they are, and they are very tall and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Icon comes in, and they're just, like, Bobby's bringing, like, a whole chill, I'm just here for a
Icon
good time.
Icon also here for the vibes. Mm-hmm. They find out pretty quickly that they don't like the vibes.
No. Mm-hmm.
But they are here for the vibes. All of the younger, what are they, fourth gen groups? You've got ATEEZ, Stray Kids, and the boys sitting on one side of this room, and they're all in like black and heavy makeup. Mm-hmm. And then you have the third gen groups on the other side, all just exactly the opposite.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the line between fourth gen and third gen has never been more pronounced.
Yeah. Like, it's clear, like, they each have sort of a signature look.
Uh-huh.
So then the hosts come in, and the hosts are Chungbin and Yuno from TVXQ for now.
Uh-huh.
Put a pin in that, I guess. So they come in, and everybody's remarking on, like, their aura, and they're so tall and handsome. And I think they do a good job as hosts. They're good.
Why weren't they out at the beginning is my question, hosting this show?
Like, yeah.
What is,
like,
happening?
Why wasn't there any sort of, like, direction for, here's what we want you to do? It's like they wanted it to be super awkward. Like,
yeah.
That was the story that they wanted to tell, was, look at all these awkward boys. And it's like, this isn't good television. I'm uncomfortable. This is not a good time for me.
It was really uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it just gets worse. Like, this whole episode is really uncomfortable to watch. Also, because it's clear that they were not given any guidance on these 100 seconds. So what's going to end up happening is each group is going to perform a 100 seconds of their song.
A song winning that song had one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ATEEZ only has one.
It's Wave.
Yeah. So the song they have to perform is Wave. Keep in mind that they're dressed in like super goth makeup and like dark clothing. So
they look like they've been through it. They've got like a distressed pirate vibe going on right now. So the groups have to perform a 100-second version of a winning song. All these other groups have like a lot of options. Actually, no, I think SF9 only has one option as well. I think they've only won once, I feel.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
I don't think so, because they were talking about which song would they perform, I think.
All I know is that when they beat Answer in January of 2020, that was their first win. And people were expecting me to like be sympathetic about that, and I was not sympathetic at all. I was bitter, and I carried that bitterness for an entire year.
Still carrying it. I don't know what you're talking about. It's 5 years later.
I mean, well, I kind of got to know SF9 a little bit, you know. So
you're less bitter now.
I'm a little less bitter now.
I feel like they had at least two, but I could be making that up. Honestly, like I said, the first episode was very hard to watch. You don't get a lot of interesting pathos. There's a lot of awkward moments and a lot of them kind of like sitting and talking on this stage, but we don't get a lot of their like prep for the song. We don't get a lot of like behind the scenes information. We don't get any overarching story for the groups.
They focus a lot on when they are doing their dress rehearsals. They really hone in on who's making mistakes in the dress rehearsals and how worried they are about making that same mistake in the performance. Like there's this whole thing with Felix of Stray Kids where he's having trouble with some points in the choreography. Because they do like a really tough choreo, very acrobatic thing, and he's worried about all these different things that he has to do, and they're really playing that up for which they will continue to do for the entirety of the show. That's mostly what we get. We don't even really get a good introduction of each group. We get like a little overview of what each group is, and they seem to focus, like I noticed for Stray Kids in particular, they focus not really on anything that Stray Kids had done, but on look at all these other groups that are in this same company. And I was like, that feels a little bit derogatory towards Stray Kids. Like, what have they done, they themselves as a group, not yay for JYP. Like, that's not what this is about. So I thought that was a little bit odd.
I feel like that was probably JYP being like, I'll let them be on this show if you do these things. Like, that's why we get a whole later, a commercial for how great JYP is, like the offices. So I do feel like there were some concessions made by Mnet regarding some of these, like, how they could get some of these groups on there. And you can see that some groups are treated better than others. And even though people said AT's was, it's very clear that they weren't.
They were absolutely not. And like, I'm Stray Kids had no reason to be on this show.
No.
And I do believe, because I like I said before, I think God's Menu was the song that really catapulted them, you know, into the stars that they are today, like really pushed them along that road. And that had already happened, but I feel like they had already signed the contract to be on the show before that happened. So they expected a different type of group, like a different level of group than what they got. So Stray Kids, had, they did, I know that they did get a big boost in popularity from this, but they would have also been fine without it, I think.
Yeah. I really think the only groups that got any boost in popularity were ATs and Stray Kids. I don't think the boys got anything out of this show.
I feel like they maintained their Korean fan base.
I feel like they got all they were going to get out of this show by being on Road to Kingdom. And if they had not been on Road to Kingdom, like if they had stopped at that and not been on this show, I think they would have had the exact same outcome. I don't think Icon, B2B, and SF9 really got anything other than heartache out of this show.
I mean, if they got a boost in popularity, it was a tiny, tiny little one.
Probably short-lived. So not long-lasting. So they get all these groups out, and they decide the order in which they are going to perform these opening 100-second sets. And they do so by, apparently all of the groups themselves had voted for who they think is going to win Kingdom. And the group that the groups thought was going to win Kingdom is Icon. So Icon gets to choose the order in which the performances go.
Well, they choose who goes first.
They choose who goes
first.
And
then each group performs. Right. Each group like chooses a relay. Who goes after them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they choose 80s.
Yeah. They're like, they're the youngest. We'll let them go ahead and go first and kind of get it over with.
And that was the best thing they could have done to them.
It really, truly was. Listen, I'm going to go to bat. I'm going to go to bat. I told you this when we were watching this together, and now I'm going to tell everybody else. I will go to bat for the Overture version of Wave because I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think they did the best that they could with what they had. Mm-hmm. They could not use any other song. They didn't have any other options. And they also had this narrative that they were trying to tell because ATs, when they came, it was very clear. Like, they knew that they didn't necessarily have the edge in, like, performance.
Yeah.
Because these other groups are also very strong performance groups.
Yeah. Well,
they know they've got an edge with Jungho.
Yeah.
They know this. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, they call him their secret weapon. And they know that he is their secret weapon. And they know that since they're down a rapper, they don't have, they don't have what Stray Kids has. They don't have that strong rap bass right now. Right. So they're like, we have to focus on what we can do, which is one, Jungho. That's one. And two, we tell a story. They are very narrative. Which it's very sad for me to say this now, given the situation that we are in as we are recording this. And just FYI, we are recording this on the Tuesday before Golden Hour 3, if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. So so I really think that, and they were like, that's what we're going to do. That's the kind of group that we are. Mm-hmm. They're not like a super, they didn't do anything big with props. They didn't do any like special effects, really. Mm-mm. They were like, we're just going to tell a story. And in order for us to tell the story that we need to tell, we can't do a light and happy and fun wave. We have to do a dark and dramatic wave. Mm-hmm. And so that is what they did. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of ATs don't like it. And I'm like, listen, you can go listen to the original version of Wave. It hasn't gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can just go listen to that. But like, they're not here to please you. They're here to tell a story because they know that that is their strength.
I don't dislike the version of Wave that they do. And I said this while we were watching it. I felt like their beginning stage showed their inexperience with this type of stage, which is very true in that they do not have experience with this type of stage because this type of stage was one that was mostly focused on like camera movement, because there was no live audience. So you're performing exclusively for the camera. And some groups really played into that. And some groups didn't play into it, but their stage still ended up well. And it felt like ATs just wasn't quite sure how to do it. So their stage has this kind of frenetic energy about it, which it goes with the song and it goes with the story they're trying to tell. So like that's not a bad thing, but it's not necessarily enjoyable to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're trying to convince people who don't know you to like you, then a stage that's uncomfortable to watch isn't necessarily going to do it. Like, I'm not saying the stage is bad. I think what they do a good job of it. It just has like a kind of frenetic energy that makes it slightly uncomfortable.
Right. It's sort of like watching a theater kid give a speech in English class and they're going at it a little bit too hard.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, well, we could bring it down like 10 notches.
I mean, ATs are the theater kids of this competition show. So
it's true.
They are the Sharpay Evans and they're going to do what they got
to
do.
I talked to Cassandra about this once because I went into... When I watched Kingdom, I had God's Menu on my playlist, and I had ATs on my playlist, and I had TXT on my playlist. And I came out of Kingdom and ATeeny and had Stray Kids blocked. So there, you know, what is it about watching this show that put me on the ATs path as opposed to hard left on the Stray Kids path, right? Because a lot of people are just like me, but they came out Stray Kids fan. And so, you know, like, what was it? And one of the things she talked about is that, like, the people she knows who eventually came out as an ATs fan, like, kind of got into them all the time, and ATs ended up their big group. is that the AT's musical theater pipeline. So, like, if you had a musical theater stage, you're likely to go with AT's. If you had just, like, a rock punk stage, then you're going to hit Stray Kids a little harder.
Probably, yeah.
So, and I had both of those stages, but so... I think my
musical theater kid stage was stronger in the end.
I think if you have a musical theater kid stage at all, right? Like, if it's just rock, punk, Stray Kids. If it's both, you might be a Stateeny, but I think Ateeny wins. Like, if you have that musical theater stage in you, Ateeny eventually wins.
We'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But it is very clear that ATs were very comfortable emoting and expressing and acting. Like, they never show any discomfort with acting. They're just, like, already there doing it. Whereas some other groups are really awkward about having to be dramatic on stage. But we'll get there when we get there. So
so ATs goes first.
ATs goes first. So let's talk about their performance. So they do wave. It starts off with they're all collapsed on the floor. And Hong Jun, like, spits out blood. And the thing, I do think that the number one issue with this particular stage is the way that Hong Jun, like, gasps with a dying breath, Hakuna Matata. And it's kind of silly because Hakuna Matata is a Disney song, and it means, you know, don't worry, be happy, or whatever it means. And that just seems like a weird thing for him to say in that moment. But I guess, what else is he going to say? I don't know.
That's the lyrics.
That's the lyrics. But did we have to say anything? I don't know that we did need to say that. So that, I think, took a lot of people who do not have a tolerance for... The same type of people who cannot handle an improper English lyric are the same people who got taken out when Hong Jun said Hakuna Matata at the start of the wave stage. They were like, I can't. This is too silly. So, but then it just kind of, we get into it. They are the only ones that, they're not the only ones, but they are the only group that I think entirely sings live. While they are doing this, most of the other groups focus just on dance
or singing. ATs does both.
Yes.
So there is another group that sings their stage, but ATs does pretty intense choreo as well as singing their stage. What I will say is that it is more, they have turned the song more chanty, so it doesn't really sound melodic and beautiful. So I don't think people would be, like, blown away by their singing in this song because it is very chanty, but it is live. They are performing it.
Well, they do sing, you know, once they get into the da 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 ba da da da, and then they give Jungkook a really powerful ending moment.
Yeah.
Where they have this whole thing where they've got the torch and then they form, like, a boat sort of thing, and San climbs up with the torch. Yeah. So it's very minimalistic. It's very simple, but it is very, like, you don't quite know what's going on. I feel like after that first moment, I feel like where it loses me is Sungwa's part where he's like skipping around. But then when we get just into some straight on choreo with, like, you know, leading the little dance thing, that's when it really, like, okay, I'm settled. I understand what's happening now. But definitely, I do not think a clear representation of everything that they are capable of.
No. I didn't come out of this episode in ATeeny. I'll say that. It wasn't this episode. I mean, I watched this episode and I was like, oh, okay.
So, interesting. I do think for the sake of the narrative, them having an underwhelming first stage does make... Like, first, an underwhelming introductory stage does make their first real stage so much more impactful, in my opinion.
I agree. And they were the first to go, which, again, was the best thing that could happen to them.
Right. It would have been bad for them to have followed any of the other groups.
And then I don't remember what, I think the next one they, did they choose BTOB?
Yeah.
They choose BTOB to go next, which was smart because BTOB is going to do something different than them. And they do. BTOB comes out and they sing. And that's basically it.
I mean, but it's beautiful.
It's a lovely, lovely singing. Live singing.
I loved all of B2B stages, I believe, if I remember correctly. Because they were just legitimately good, solid performers. Just fun to watch and so talented.
There are at least for a time, there was this period of gross Reddit posts about how Jung-ho doesn't have stage presence.
Ugh.
I know. But I bring this up only because B2B has stage presence in the way that Jung-ho has stage presence. Like, when Jung-ho's singing live on stage, it is incredibly impactful, and you can't take your eyes off of him. And that is the type of energy that B2B brings to a stage. They're out there. They're pouring it all out. They are not, you know, emoting and winking for the camera, which is fine. Like, that's how some performers do it. And and that's good stage presence, too. But it is a different type of stage presence that B2B is bringing to us.
Right.
Don't remember what song they performed. It was good, though.
So they pick SF9 to go after them.
This was my least favorite stage. It was my least favorite stage when we watched it the first time. It is my least favorite stage this time. I want to say, as we're doing this Kingdom episode, if you're a fan of the groups, I'm not saying, when I say it's my least favorite stage, I'm not saying that any group is bad. I'm not saying that I dislike
a
group.
It's pretty clear every group is massively talented. Like, that's just like, a given.
There are six groups, and it is a competition show, and unfortunately, that means, like, you have to rank them.
Yeah, one of them has to be last.
And so based on this performance, for me, it was SF9, because, like, it was 100 seconds. I think the first 45 were just them walking.
It was a lot of walking. I don't think it was a full 45, but they did waste a lot of time with just them presenting their handsomeness.
Yeah.
Which I get maybe that's their thing. Maybe they're like, we're just so handsome, which they are just so handsome.
Several of them are incredibly handsome.
Is this the one where Rowoon is there, but he doesn't perform with them?
Yes.
Or was that the... Okay, so Rowoon is, he's there, but he has a back injury. So he just stays seated during the whole thing. I'm like, why did they make him come? Rowoon,
he was a busy man.
which he has now left SF9 and he is focusing on his acting. So kind of feels like he should have done that earlier because he's not really in this competition very much at all. But he was by far and away the most popular member.
The thing about SF9 watching this show is that you get the impression that a lot of them actually are like Rowoon and they want to be doing something else. Like, they have something else they would rather be focusing on. And there's like two or three that really pushed to be on this show because they wanted to get their idol career to take off, and that like the others just did it for them.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe I kind of take away from SF9. I don't know that that's true, but that is definitely the vibe that is given through the editing of this show.
Yeah. So they go, I don't even remember. I think they did The Stealer.
Yeah.
Is that the song they did?
Yeah. They have a little bit of choreo. They don't have anyone sing.
No
words sung.
No, there's lip syncing,
but
they're not actually singing. And it's pretty obvious that they're not actually singing. And I think that we all know we're all in on the joke together. So, like, it's not like they're trying to fool us, but they're just flat out not singing at all. So do they pick Stray Kids to go next? Or was
they
it
pick
the boys?
Stray Kids because the boys go last before Icon.
Okay.
And the boys have a lot of feelings about that. They feel like no one liked them.
So Stray Kids go next. I don't remember which song they did. Side Effects?
I don't know enough Stray Kids songs to know
either.
Which one they did.
If only I had taken notes. So Stray Kids go next. And theirs is, it's very polished. It is very athletic. It is very, a lot of props.
There's it's a
very dramatic. There is a flamethrower. There are fake knives. There are little like light up things that they use to like they turn off the lights off. And then there's like this little.
That's the one part I really like. At the beginning, they turn off all the lights and kind of make like a face out of like little glowing eyes. I think that's very cool. I think that's the best part of their performance. I don't like the knife props.
I couldn't quite follow like what the point, like what was the concept of, it was just violence and drama is the only thing I got from it. And maybe that's the only thing they wanted me to get from it. But I did feel like all of the props were just a little bit much.
Right.
It was just a lot.
Yeah.
So that because that's all I really remember about the performance is all of the props, all of the stuff. I don't remember them so much, but this is also coming from someone who's not a fan, so I'm not going to be like,
I will say that when
members.
I watched this, theirs wasn't my favorite performance either. When I watched the first time, my favorites were B2B and Icon. And I remember going down a B2B and Icon path. I think actually Icon mm-hmm. was my favorite because at this time I got really into mini Icon songs and added like a bunch to my playlist. So I have to assume that they were in fact my favorite based on my listening habits of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't like Stray Kids' performance very much. I liked parts of The Boys. So for me, ATEEZ and Stray Kids were just kind of like somewhere in the middle. SF9 was like at the low end. Mm-hmm. B2B and Icon were at the top. And I guess The Boys would probably be middle to low.
Mm-hmm. There were parts of The Boys, again, that I liked.
Yes.
There is this part where they kind of go into this kind of classical mode.
Yes, that is beautiful. Which I think is what saves their performance for me. Mm-hmm. Because they also do not sing at all.
Yeah.
Which was why theirs was in SF9 categories. Mm-hmm. Like for me, the groups that didn't sing at all, I didn't like any of their stages. If you didn't have any boy out there singing, it was like, I don't like it. So that's why SF9 and The Boys were lowest for me for these first stages. Yeah. Even though there is that like ballet part of The Boys that I think is beautiful. Mm-hmm. For a dancing competition, The Boys would have been my top choice, but I wasn't here for a dance competition. So
I do think that that was kind of part of the thing was that everybody was doing something different. So it's really hard to judge, like, how do you compare B2B's excellent vocal performance with The Boys' excellent dance performance?
Yeah.
Like, those are two completely different skill sets. How do I judge? Like, how do I pick which one I like better? Because that's two different.
I think Unkwang, is that his name? Is that how you pronounce
Unkwang?
Unkwang? When in the second episode, he even like says something about that when they talk about they're going to have professional people come score them. He's like, well, if they care more about vocals, then we'll be good. But if they care about dance, we won't be so good. And like, I think it's the same thing. If you were someone who came in and was watching this show and cared about dance, I you would have a different ranking than me. B2B and Icon were not out there dancing.
No, they weren't here for dancing, but they were performing. And they, I felt like they had like a good connection with the audience, the fake audience. The
Icon's was like they were performing at a festival. They were not performing for a camera at all. Mm-hmm. Like they did not do special camera moments. It was just a performance for a festival. Like if you had been there to see it, you would have had a really nice time. If you had been there in person to see The Boys stage, you would have been like, what is happening? Why is that, like there's a camera? Like what's going on? Like it wouldn't translate.
Yeah. I would say the same for ATEEZ and probably Stray Kids as well. Maybe even, I can't remember anything about SF9s except for the walking. So maybe the there's walking two. Is like,
I thought, honestly, before we watched it again, I thought they only came out and walked. Like that's
that
how.
That is the only thing that I had remembered. So when they actually started doing choreo, I was surprised. I was like, they are going to do something. That's exciting.
So I'm just saying, I understand that didn't take 45 seconds, the walk. But
that's what it felt like.
45 spiritual seconds.
So the gimmick of this first episode is that they had released the performances on YouTube on the same day. And we were all supposed to watch them and we had to go vote on that god-awful Who's Fan app. And we had to do the vote for three groups thing, if I recall correctly. And it was a nightmare. So then in the latter, like in the last third or the last quarter of the episode, it's just the groups gathered in like their own like off agencies or whatever.
Yeah.
And they are getting the news via like a
Zoom call.
Yeah. And so they announce all of the placements and ATEEZ get fifth. And they're clearly pretty upset about that. But like, and when you look at the numbers, like the numbers of votes, they were like, oh, we got so many more votes than we expected. It's like, yeah, because you didn't realize that stays are so such a big fandom. And when you look at all of the voting, it is stays are far and away. Stray Kids gets the most votes every single time.
Yeah.
And when we talked about
it's
earlier,
not even a close margin.
No, it's not even. It's like almost double what second place gets. Stray Kids is like almost double that. It's pretty crazy. So it's and then they talk about like the way that the votes are, whether the scores is broke. Are broken down. It's 25% expert evaluation, mm-hmm. which I firmly believe should have been more.
Yeah.
It is 25% other groups, so like the group,
competitors.
The competitors, thank you. The competitors like voting for each other. Mm-hmm. It is 15% streaming, so mm-hmm.
also fandom size.
Watching the videos, also fandom size. And then it is 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
No, we're missing some.
These numbers are wrong.
I think it's
10% streaming. It's 10% streaming. And then it was 40% vote.
So it's
so 50% of the score is your fandom size. And it's like, okay, well, Stray Kids has won already.
Mm-hmm.
And they do win, spoilers. But I think that that's why their like story arc on the show is not interesting at all, because it's like they just are consistently at the top of the scoreboard like every single time, even when they're voted low from the other groups and from the judges. It doesn't matter because their fans are going to pull them right up.
Yeah.
So it just is what it is. And then the last episode is entirely fan voted, I believe.
Yeah. It makes it very uninteresting to root for them if you like an underdog, which also might be why I came out an 18-y, right? Because I do love an underdog story. And I think a lot of 18-y's do. That's why we're always inventing one.
I know. That's why we love the Struggle Olympics, and we are top class competitors in the Struggle Olympics.
And honestly, we win every time.
Yeah. So the rankings are 80s gets fifth, Icon is sixth, SF9 I think was fourth, or were they third?
I think they were third. I think B2B was fourth.
No, I think it switched. I feel like it switched. Yeah. Anyway, SF9 and B2B are third and fourth. The Boys, I think, was second, and Stray Kids was first. So that's how it falls out. And whoever wins the introduction gets 1,000 points.
And the thing that you should understand is that Icon is a well-liked group by the general public and has plenty of popularity in Korea. They don't have an incredibly active fan base.
Yeah.
So, and that's true of all of the third gen groups. So they never get any points for voting except when Stray Kids pull them up so that they can beat other groups.
So they can beat ATs.
Yeah.
let's just be honest. Like ATs were their primary competition. I think, and that gets established pretty quickly. So we've already been like 45 minutes. So let's jump into episodes 1 and 2. So for the first round, episodes 2 and 3. So they're very vague theme for the first real performance is to the world.
What do you want to say to the world?
Yes. So each group is going to pick a song from their own discography. And because Stray Kids wins the introduction round, they get to decide the order of performance. So they pick the Boys to go first. So the Boys are going to sing No Air. And they start off there, like, and each group gets, before their performance, they get like this little narrative part, like behind the scenes or whatever. So the Boys go and do like this underwater photo shoot.
Yeah, it's a waste of my time.
Yeah.
That's the only way to describe it. They use the photo, like they use one of the photos as a opening background image to their performance, but that's the only time we see it. And they dedicate about 15 minutes to Sunwoo being incredibly scared to do this underwater photo shoot. And I don't even think his picture is the one that's used. But they force him to go in there and do it. And it's really uncomfortable. He's clearly, like, having a thing. Like, he clearly doesn't want to do this. It feels like the rest of the group is forcing him to do it. There's, like, one guy who steps up who's like, oh, I'll do it with him. And it's like, oh, it's kind of...
There are no other adults in this room that we can see. Like, where's the management? Who's in charge of this photo shoot? Who's the photographer? It's like, it just feels like they just stuck the Boys in a room with, like, an aquarium. And that's and they're like, okay, go. So it was very strange. It's a very odd...
We don't see practice at all. We don't see them even do a tiny bit of practice for this performance. We might see like the rehearsal beforehand. But other than that, we don't really see them practice. We just see them do this weird photo shoot where Sunwoo has like a anxiety attack and the rest of the boys are like, no, it's your problem. And it doesn't really endear you to the boys. And I understand it, the boys are a great group. I have several friends who really like them. But if this is your introduction to the boys, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. And the thing is, this never comes back either. No. Like, it doesn't become like Sunwoo's character arc of overcoming anxiety or anything. Like, it just kind of dissipates and goes away and never becomes an issue ever again. So then they perform No Air, and they do like a, I think it's supposed to be like a Game of Thrones thing, which it would be entirely lost on me because I have not watched Game of Thrones, and I'm sort of stubbornly refusing to watch Game of Thrones at this point just because so many people have told me that I have to, and I'm like,
I hate Game of Thrones. You don't have to watch it.
Excellent.
You have to not watch it.
I am absolved. Excellent. So, and it's fine. I there is this part where they have, it is, as we learn later, it's two women sticking their arms out on either side of the camera so that you just see these like really decorative arms and they're like interacting with the boys. Again, something that would not work with a live audience. Like,
right.
This
is clearly
a made for TV performance, which is fine because that's what we were working with.
I think that is more proof that Road to Kingdom did not have a live studio audience because the boys are very good at this from the very beginning to performing to a camera specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. So they are, and it's fine. It's fine. It's a fine performance, but it didn't do anything for me because I didn't love the song and I didn't quite grasp the concept, although the other group seemed really excited about it.
There were some very cool parts. Like the POV part was cool with the women's arms. There's a part.
I really disliked it. Like, it just bothered me. I don't know what it is about it that bothered me, but I was like, I don't like this.
The part that I thought was really cool was there's like a part where there's like a sheet and they're kind of like grabbing him through.
Reminds
the sheet.
Reminds me of This World, like the showcase performance of This World
that we never saw again. Lost to time. So I thought, I really liked that part. I thought that there was some cool ideas in it.
Yeah.
I think I sent you a rank of my as I was watching them so that
you
I could
did,
see
but
how
let's,
I was.
We can
I'm just
going
to say where I thought the boys were. Well, I guess I can't because we have to know where the others are for that to make sense.
Right. Yes. So
I thought it was fine according to my rank.
My overall feeling of the boys' performances the whole time is that they always had good moments, but it lacked connective tissue for me. Like, they would do these really cool things, but they felt divorced from all the other things that they were doing, in my opinion.
Like the ballet.
And I kind of felt that way a little bit with SF9 as well. But anyway, so the next group to go was B2B, I believe.
Yes.
B2B. I thought it was so good.
It was.
I thought it was so good. They had like, they obviously they focused on their like vocals, but they start off with Peniel comes out and he's doing his rap and he's wearing this really long white coat. And then they get it. They all get on the microphones and they've got like this like this wintry forest behind them. And then here comes
the hottest man in K-pop.
Here comes Minhyuk. We're here to wreck everybody's day. He's got a sword. He does this like sword dance in the forest. It's very like well choreographed, like a fight scene. And then they go back and they sing some more. And then the camera pans back to the forest. And now it's like cherry blossoms instead of snow. So, and everyone's like, oh, the season's changed, which I didn't get that until the second time I watched this. But I just thought their performance was so good.
It was
like
good.
They had everything.
It was
they
good.
Had everything there was to have. So I thought it was fantastic. And then we had Icon. Was Icon next?
SF9 was last.
Stray Kids goes fourth and then ATEEZ goes fifth. So it was Icon went next. And Icon did like a sort of musical theater version, like a very stripped down version, because again, this goes back to the budget issue where all the groups were supposed to have a budget. And the fourth gen groups were released from the budget or their budget was increased and the third gen groups were not told. So it's pretty, there's a pretty clear disparity between the amount of
the production values
in the performances,
which is pretty messed up.
Because like, it's pretty clear because the third gen groups all rank low based on the judges and the other groups voting. And it's like, that's pretty crazy, actually. But they do like a cool mashup of Killing Me and
Love Scenario.
Yeah, Love Scenario.
Which I loved. I think that
I thought
a lot
it was really
didn't.
Good.
I remember reading afterwards that people didn't like the mashup. They thought it didn't work. I thought the mashup super worked. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I also love both of those songs. So this was really high for me. Like, I thought they did a really good job. Bobby did a great job with his performance. One or two of them did some really, like, nice singing work, too. There was some lip singing, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was nice. Like, the whole thing was nice.
Mm-hmm. It was very pleasant. I would have, if I had been there in person, I would have enjoyed it. I think it would have been
fun. It felt very musical theater.
Yeah, it did. Like an old school kind of musical theater, like a, you have to perform in a black box kind of thing with like minimal production. Mm-hmm. But it was really good. Then Stray Kids went and they did a mashup of God's Menu and some other song. I don't know.
I didn't like this.
This one felt like, this is a thing consistently with Stray Kids for me, but everything they did felt like too much. It felt like there were so many things going on all over the place. It was hard to put all of the pieces together. Kind of similarly to the boys, they would have some interesting moments. But then I was like, I'd be like, I don't understand how that connects to all the other things. Like, I don't get very high concept, too high for me.
I felt like this stage had the frenetic energy from the first AT stage that I was not a fan of. Like, there was just something kind of vaguely unpleasant about how fast the camera was moving, where we were panning to, all of the switch ups. It just didn't feel smooth. It felt rough and sort of just like unpleasant to watch. But yeah, they had a really cool moment where Bang Chan, is that his name? Chan Bang?
I want to say Bang Chan.
Bang Chan? This is how much I know.
Yeah. The leader.
The leader. He was like, had like a shadow dancer underneath himself. That was very cool. I didn't like how...
The shadow dancer, for context, was hanging upside down and like mirroring Bang Chan's choreography.
The shadow dancer, very talented.
Yeah. I was like, okay, the dancer's really pulling his weight on this one.
Like, yeah, because he was like leaning up towards him and like that takes some ab muscles.
Really powerful abs in this guy.
So that was very cool, but kind of related. There were a lot of parts where members were by themselves. And I didn't like, I just felt like I wanted more of the, and I think that might be where the frenetic energy comes from. Like, each one has their own, like, solo moment. They're almost never together. They're, like, alone in a hallway. And like with ATs, I'm sure that was purposeful. I'm sure it goes to the story they're telling.
I think so, too, because they do have this big kind of grand finale where they are all together.
Yes, and they're defeating evil.
Yeah, they're being the puppet masters of their shadow selves is what I have gathered based on what people were saying and what and I'm watching it again, which I think was really cool. But again, like, I just felt like there was so much going on that I couldn't. It was hard to focus.
Right. Yeah. Like, I do think it was purposeful. I think they did the story they wanted to tell. It just didn't really hit for me.
Yeah. And their whole, like, lead up to, like, their little background story was about they had this big grand meeting at JYP. And then they had all these people at the table. And then they, like, zoomed in a bunch more people. So there were, like, a dozen staff members from JYP here talking about like what they were going to do for the song.
And then JYP staffers give their opinions and then Stray Kids is like, no, we want to do it this way. And they're like, you're right.
I was like, what a good use of my time this was. And then we get to see a little bit of Bang Chan doing the remix.
We also get to see the kind of acting portion that you alluded to.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was this. And they were, like, really struggling with it. Like, they
felt awkward.
They felt really awkward. And I was like, that's so weird to me. Like, I guess I'm just used to ATs just throwing their whole selves into whatever they are doing. I've never seen them be awkward with their performances, even when we get to see, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right.
They're just like fully immersed all the time.
Yeah.
So I do think that's an edge that they have. But it was interesting. They did have 2PM's Woo Young came to visit them. A lot of these groups showcased their connections in the industry.
Yeah.
Like SF9 and Icon calling each other. Except for ATs. ATs had nobody that they called.
They called Eden.
Yeah, they did. He is somebody. He's somebody to us. Get out of here, losers. But they call Ethan to talk about the production and but anyway, we'll get there when we get there. But anyway, so Stray Kids, they have a meeting with Woo Young, and he comes and he 2 p.m. Woo Young. I know that's confusing. Mm-hmm. But he comes and he watches their rehearsal, and he's like giving him tips, and he's like, oh, I don't think anybody could beat this, and
yeah,
I'll take you out to eat. It felt very disingenuous to me.
Yeah.
Like
they felt like he didn't even know what he was, like he didn't know what show they were on. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what the competition was about. He was told mm-hmm. to show up and give some cheering words, and he was like, all right. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll bring some fruit, I guess. So that was that. And then we get to ATEEZ.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was very interesting, Stray Kids talking about like the order and how yeah. they really wanted to go fourth. I was like, why? That feels like the worst possible position to me.
I think they knew that the show would be split at three. And so mm-hmm. they would have the opening number of the second half. Mm. I think they must have known that. Because that's yeah. the only way it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to go one, two, or three, because then by the time it comes time to vote,
yeah,
people have forgotten your stage.
Yeah.
And you don't want so you can either open or close that second episode. And I think they mm-hmm. wanted to open it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. It was interesting when Chungbin talked about how, because they were like, well, we don't want it. Because they were like, should we put ATEEZ right after us because they're similar to us in style? Yeah. Or should we do SF9 right after us because they're a little bit different?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, it might be bad if somebody comes up and they're just like us. It might lose impact. And then somebody else was like, no, I think it might increase the impact. And Chungbin was like,
we're going to do it better.
Yeah. And then Chungbin was like, well, if they don't do it as good as we do it, I was like, okay, sure. So they make ATEEZ goes fifth, and ATEEZ is super excited about it. When you see them walk into their closet to change mm-hmm. and they see the schedule.
I have to mention this before we get further. Everyone has these big changing rooms.
Yes.
Big changing rooms with the TV to watch these results as it comes in their mm-hmm. changing room.
Yeah.
Everyone has this, except for ATEEZ. You see them only walk into their changing room at the very, very beginning, and you never see that room again because it's not mm-hmm. big enough for the cameras to go in.
It's not even big enough for ATEEZ to go in. I think they had to get ready in shifts.
No, so they have, like, a single line desk mm-hmm. that, like, maybe three people can sit at. And mm-hmm. there's no space to be behind it. There's no space anywhere else. And so ATEEZ has two rooms. Everyone else has one room that they get to stay in at mm-hmm. all times. ATEEZ has this room they have to change in mm-hmm. and get ready in. And then another room that they have to sit in and watch this show in. Everyone else has comfortable couches, comfortable chairs. ATEEZ has rolling office chairs that they probably mm-hmm. brought down from some poor staff writer's office and mm-hmm. put in this room that is the size of a broom closet. It is.
And it's empty and desolate. There's nothing else in here except for these chairs that ATEEZ sit on. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird.
There's no place for them to put water. They have it like under their chairs. Everyone mm-hmm. else has like tables where they have snacks and food and whatever. And mm-hmm. ATEEZ is just in this empty, desolate, dark closet.
It is very badly lit too.
So it's rough.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes, they are very excited when and they see fifth in their closet.
Yes. I would like to point out, too, that during B2B's performance, Sanghwa has his phone up with, like, the scrolling message, like, I love you, B2B, or whatever it says. Yeah. Like, a big fanboy. And I remember the B2B stands being really, like, endeared to him because mm-hmm. of that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, go with the good Sanghwa. That's good. And I know he did it because his heart is so pure in spite of how trim his abs are. So that was very cute. And then Woo Young does the same thing for Chungbin during Stray Kids set.
Or
there from in their performance. He's got his little cheering message that he's uh-huh. holding up.
At one point they translate it to I'm watching you, which I read as threatening.
I feel like with Woo Young and Chungbin, maybe it was a little bit.
But that was very cute.
Mm-hmm.
ATEEZ looks like they're having a nice time despite being in this closet, so that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, as close as they can, they're obviously, like, super tired. And if you mm-hmm. know the lore behind that they're, and that is part of their, like, their behind the scenes is how busy they were working mm-hmm. on, like, Imitation and promoting mm-hmm. fireworks and all mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. But their behind the scenes is Hong Joon working with Eden and Lee's mm-hmm. to R.I.P. Lee's.
Well, he didn't actually die. So
he's not dead. He's just dead to us because he's gone now. They're like talking about finding the finding. Eden says, I want you to find a classical piece that we can merge with Wonderland.
Yeah.
Hong Jun does this whole, and y'all, I cannot stress this enough. This whole thing is scripted. It's so scripted. Hong Jun has already, they already know. I don't even think Hong Jun was the one who found the song. It was pre-found. It was already discovered. And here's how I know. So Hong Jun is in his little office, his studio, humming these musical, like trying to figure out, and he plays two massively popular like symphonies. And he's like, no, those don't really work. And he has this very cute little interaction where he's sitting on the sofa and he's on the phone with Eden. Or no, he's talking about Eden. He keeps like activating his little AI assistant thing. And he's like, no, please, I don't want to talk to you. And he keeps getting frustrated about that. It was very funny. So then he's talking to Eden and Eden's like, hey, find classical music. And Hong Jun's looking for classical music. And then he and Lee's and Eden are all in this little studio together. And Hong Jun's like, what about that song? And he hums, you know, from the New World. And at one point, Eden and Lee's are talking and Hong Jun pushes a button accidentally and the opening notes of the song start playing before he's even figured out what the title of the song is. And the way he looks directly in the camera and like eyes wide, like, oh, no. I'm like, okay, come on, y'all. This is all set up. This was all planned ahead of time. This is the narrative that they decided that Hong Jun was going to have for this. But anyway, so Eden immediately knows the song that he wants, of course, because it was already picked. And then Lee gets up there.
Gets immediately and just puts it together perfectly.
Yeah, just
like
throws
nothing's
that together
ever
on
been.
The keyboard. Like, yeah. And they're talking about, oh, yeah, well, if we strip it down and we only do these parts and we keep everything else.
But Eden's looking like, great, so...
He's looking great. He's having fun. He's doing work. He is doing work.
They also meet with Jung-ho. So Eden and Hong Jun and Jung-ho all meet, and then they send a couple of the dancers to go meet with, like, the dance team, and that's kind of how they split off. And not all members of ATEEZ are here for this, I don't think. Because ATEEZ is busy. So they've only got kind of a couple participating.
Well, there is a part, like the Hong Jun is sitting there talking with San and Woo Young at one point about like what should they do? What should their concept be? And then he talks about how he watched Pirates of the Caribbean. And so then they all gather after Jung-ho and Eden have their conversation, and Eden's like, I'm thinking maybe four levels of high note. And Jung-ho's got that like
Yeah, as if they hadn't already had this song done and ready to go. Eden's like, I just can't decide between three or four. And Jung-ho's like, I don't know. Can I do it?
Having already done it. Okay.
And Eden's like, you know, I think you're our secret weapon, Jung-ho. So they do say that. Like, they do say that they think that Jung-ho is what is going to set them apart. And they're not wrong. Because no one else in that show can sing live like Jung-ho can, except for B2B, but they cannot do the dancing that Jung-ho can do while doing it.
Or they choose not to do the dancing that Jung-ho does.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with dancing.
Hard to know.
They're not a dance group, I don't think. Like, they're not dance focused. So they maybe can, but they don't. That's not their vibe. So... like, ATEEZ is going to be dancing like Stray Kids and the Boys, but they will also be able to have the vocals that B2B is bringing because Jung-ho is going to be doing that. And, like, several other members of ATEEZ are also singing live and bringing that to the performance, too. But it is clear that they are counting on the powerhouse of Jung-ho's vocals to set them apart from the other dancing stages.
I mean, that four-level high note is simply to make a point. They're making a statement, and I'm going to save this for later, but they did make the statement, and I do think other groups were intimidated by it.
Yeah.
But I'm saving that for later. I have a very specific episode in mind where I'm going to bring this back. So we're putting a pin in it. Or we'll take it down later. So they come out and they do the...
they change the game with this song. I know exactly what you're talking about. They change the game.
So they come out and they do Wonderland. We've all seen it. We all love it. It's amazing. And the thing
that sets
Wonderland apart from the other, like, more, like you said, frenetic stages, because in this one there is a lot going on.
Yeah.
But one, I think there is a very clear narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple narrative. Mm-hmm. It's not high concept. It's mm-mm. just a
the
we're
boat's
on a
crashing.
Ship and the boat gets attacked by a kraken and Song was going to murder the kraken.
Uh-huh. The story is simple.
That's it. There is a, and they're also going to tie in their lore because mm-hmm. at the beginning,
we got the man
one
in
of
the
holotees, the man yep. in the black hat that we don't see, we don't know who it is, brings Hong Jun the chromer. Mm-hmm. Hong Jun is sitting behind like a desk and he's got like a map on the desk and he's got mm-hmm. his whole pirate garb
and his
on.
Fur coat is
magnificent.
Incredible. He looks. So this was the moment when Hong Jun became my bias
mm-hmm.
because his cheetah hair mm-hmm. is so good. I will go to bat for that hair every single time. mm-hmm. His cheetah mm-hmm. hair was so good. He was so good in this stage. Mm-hmm. The who wears the crown bears the crown part and his like mm-hmm. kaja, like
mm-hmm.
those moments were so impactful in this stage. It was incredible. So he became my bias, and this mm-hmm. song is what made me become an 18-y. Like, I saw mm-hmm. it once, and I was like, oh, it's oh. them. Here we go.
And
from
done.
That day, mm-hmm. I, you know, voted for 80s every time. Mm-hmm. And I even played the game. I, like, we'll talk about it towards the end.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we'll save it for then. So they do Wonderland. It's amazing. Yep. People are losing their minds. And by people, I mean the other boys on the show are losing their minds.
Yeah.
Like the way that they react to 80s stage is so different from the way that they've reacted to everybody else. Like there's genuine astonishment. They're so excited. Bobby mm-hmm. is in love with that kraken. He is having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're like getting up and standing there into it. That was me at home, too. I was up. I was standing. I was like, oh, my God. Are you seeing this? Like, I just never had been treated to a stage like that.
I know. It was crazy. I mean, none of us had. We didn't know that this was possible. We didn't know this was a thing that could happen. But then Jungkook gets up there. He does his notes. He does mm-hmm. his four-level high note. And all the other boys are like, I think it's one of the Stray Kids is like, oh, Jungkook. And mm-hmm. that made me laugh really hard. But they mm-hmm. are just, it was just crazy.
It was crazy. So,
and you can tell they're mm-hmm. so blown away.
There was so much discourse on Reddit at this time about how mm-hmm. Jungkook did a bad job with those high notes. You can tell yourself that all day. You can tell yourself that you didn't like the way they sound.
Mm-hmm.
He hit those notes.
Yeah.
and everyone, the judges recognized it. The groups mm-hmm. that were there to hear it recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the editors recognized it because they used that clip as, like, the commercial. They're like, come watch this man
teaser.
Hit his four high notes. Like, so you can, you know, give your... Because this is when Jungho's bad at singing, actually. It was so popular on Reddit.
This,
and I think it's because people didn't want it to be good. Because they didn't want ATs to have the vocals that B2B has with the dancing of Stray Kids. They just didn't want that. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be like, no, it was bad, actually. So it doesn't count because it was bad.
Well, it's
actually.
Like they were expecting him to sing like an opera singer.
Mm.
And it's like that's not the genre of music that he is currently making.
Uh-huh.
It also would not have made sense in the song. The song's mm-hmm. not like an opera song. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that he did it with this very bold, powerful style. And he does end it on like a little bit of a scream because you can mm-hmm. hear like he's really pushing his breath out mm-hmm. to get that last little bit of sound because he had been holding his breath for a very long time.
It's like a rock note, which is the vibe of the song. What do the people want?
So they do Wonderland. It's great. And then the worst thing that could possibly happen to anybody is that SF9 has to go next.
Yeah.
And this was so bad for them.
Yeah.
And
I
do not mean that in like a sense that their stage was bad, but like part of their, like the lore that they give us in their introduction, like segment, is that their members are super, super busy. Like one of them's in a musical. Hwiyoung and Chani are in Imitation at this time. There is this very awkward shot of like the back of Jungkook sitting at a table and they just mm-hmm. do not acknowledge that that's Jungkook at all, except in like the edit. Like there's a little 80s Jungkook, little era. But they're like, and they talk about how they couldn't get together to rehearse with everybody. Like they just couldn't do it because everybody
was so busy.
And
they're showing these rehearsals and like there's one boy, and then there's mm-hmm. two boys, and then there's like two different boys.
And it's like, how could you possibly have a cohesive stage when you can't get everybody on the same in the same room to practice? And then they make this big, big, big deal out of this one boy. I think his name is Insong, I want to say.
Yes.
Like, really, really struggled with the choreo. And the choreo was, like, really, really difficult. This mm-hmm. thing where he has to, like, climb up on the other members and jump off and all of this
and
stuff.
And it's confusing.
He has to lift a female dancer up on his shoulders and then, like, fall down to his knees. And so they really focus on how much he's struggling in the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And then they don't show him in the part with the female dancer. He's off on one of the sides. They don't even show him in the performance. So I'm like, I have no idea if he pulled it off or not. But their whole show, which you had texted me and you were like, it feels like these are people who waited till the last minute to try to like do a group project and then they just couldn't get it together.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. or that like they had their idea for the group project way too mm-hmm. late.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put together a group project last minute, you're gonna need to kind of tone it back in. Like mm-hmm. it was like they tried to go too big and they just did not have the time to do it.
I think it suffered one from them not being able to prepare it
yeah.
that much. And it mm-hmm. suffered two from having to go right after ATs.
And that one guy who has the really hard move, mm-hmm. he like says that he hurt himself doing it during practice, and between mm-hmm. takes of them dancing, he is literally limping around.
Yeah.
Like he cannot mm-hmm. walk. And then he's still trying to do this incredibly hard move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Do we have to?
Yeah. We needed to do something else. Like, this doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's Insong, because I think Insong has, like, a thing later. I think this is a different one. Insong has a thing with the notes during.
I was like, is this the same boy?
It's not the same boy.
Okay.
Mm-mm. So it's a different boy.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But it's really hard to watch SF9 because several of them look like they're about to cry mm-hmm. throughout the practice. And then we go to the results and they look even more like they're going to cry several yeah. times. It's really mm-hmm. hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about the results?
Okay, so results.
Mm-hmm. So we get the expert results first.
Okay, what's our ranking? Before we get into this, what's our personal ranking?
My ranking was ATs,
mm-hmm.
B2B, mm-hmm. Icon, The Boys, Stray Kids, SF9.
Okay.
What was your ranking?
I think the only way I differ from you, because my top two are definitely ATs and B2B.
Mm-hmm.
ATs number one, B2B number two. Full, just completely.
Mm-hmm.
I think Icon number three does make sense. I might switch Stray Kids and The Boys. I might do mm-hmm. Stray Kids four, The Boys five, and then SF9 six.
Mm-hmm.
That's my ranking.
So they're pretty similar. We think yeah. the same groups are in the top half and the bottom half. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, these judges didn't agree.
No, they sure did not.
And the judges they don't go through them one by one. They put all mm-hmm. of the judges' ranking up at the same time, so they all see them together. Mm-hmm. And what they see is that ATs is first, Stray mm-hmm. Kids is second, The Boys is third, SF9 is fourth, Icon is fifth, B2B is sixth.
Which makes no sense to mm-mm. me. Oh, my and word.
It's clear from this that these experts are people who are into this fourth gen mm-hmm. style of a dance focused performance. Mm-hmm. I think that's what these say.
Yeah.
Because that is what we got with those other ones.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause B2B really, really the only one who dances is Minhyuk.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be some mild choreo from the rest of them, but it's pretty simple.
Bit, yeah. mm-hmm.
And they are rated last. But they're, you know, one of the only groups that gets up there and fully sings out and performs that song.
Mm-hmm.
So giving them a last place ranking is a choice.
I mean, I feel like the same thing that I felt with the intro stages. They should have been very clear about what exactly the competition was supposed to be. Like, did you want a dance competition? Did you want vocals? Like, what is it that mm-hmm. you're going for? Because you can't judge all of those things on the same rubric.
I agree.
But then they do the group rankings, like the groups mm-hmm. voting for each other.
Yes, they do the group rankings, and that is really it's really painful because They do these the same. No, they do these.
They just
by
add
showing
them
us,
to the other scores, don't they?
Yeah, but they show us like one by one, like who's sixth now?
Mm,
and then they mm-hmm. build up. So yeah. Who's sixth now is SF9.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that no group chose them.
Which that happens.
If one had chose them, it would have been better because it does feel like, you know, you could pretend it was you. Mm-hmm. But now they know that everyone, and, you know, they talk about how, like, well, it's embarrassing that no group thought we were good enough.
Well, there were only five other groups, though.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it's not a huge pool of people.
But five other groups had to pick three, just like we did.
I don't know. I'm just not willing to make this the sob story that Mnet wanted it to be.
I think it's pretty sad, so.
It is pretty sad. But, like, also, when you look at, I mean, they did put a lot of work into it, but they also really struggled. Like, that's what's going to happen if you can't get your group together to, like, rehearse.
No, I mean, like, I obviously ranked them last. So mm-hmm. I think the ranking is fair and true. It just is sad to see. Like, it is.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's really sad. I don't personally like watching grown men cry. So that's not my vibe. And several of them look like they're about to. I don't like that. And then they tell us that Icon?
Mm-hmm.
Has moved to fifth based on the rankings. And then B2B.
Wasn't Icon already in fifth?
No, I think they were in fourth. Or maybe, I don't know. SF9 drops.
SF9 was fourth.
Yeah.
So Icon just stays at fifth.
Icon stays at fifth. B2B has moved up to fourth, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boys are third, mm-hmm. Stray Kids is second, ATEEZ is first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the rankings end.
Yeah.
I think every group, like if you look at the point calculation, every group chose ATEEZ as first.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is that this is how the points stand. So the points mm-hmm. stand, ATEEZ is first, Stray Kids is second, the boys are third, and then the other groups, whatever.
Who cares?
Right. So this is how they end this episode, and then mm-hmm. they tell the fans, you
now
can
you
fix
go
it.
Vote.
Yeah. You can change the results because you're going to be 50%. And if you are a person with any interest in the group that you love winning, you have a very clear obligation of what to do here, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's just be clear. If you're a stay,
mm-hmm.
I'll just pick on them because I always pick on them. I will continue to pick on them. If you're a Stay and you want to get Stray Kids up in the first place, your job is so clear. You are going to vote for Stray Kids. You're going to vote for SF9. Mm-hmm. And you're going to vote for Icon or B2B. Maybe the boys, but probably not the boys because the
not
boys
the
might
boys.
Be a little
the
bit
boys
of a threat.
Are third. The boys yeah. are third. You can't vote for the boys because the boys have their own fans that are going to be voting for the boys.
But every other group also mm-hmm. knows we cannot vote for ATEEZ
mm-hmm.
because they're first.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people I know just voted for Stray Kids because they knew Stray Kids were going to get votes anyway. So it's like, well, Stray Kids I already know was going to get first. Like, we all just knew that all yeah. the time. Like, they're mm-hmm. always going to get the first because they mm-hmm. have the biggest fandom. So they're always going to get the most streams. They're always going to have the most votes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the really frustrating thing about this was that Stays ran this voting.
Yeah.
They controlled who was going to be ranked where. Because they were big enough and powerful enough that they could determine what the rankings of everybody were.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that just was what it was.
And there was nothing you could do because every person had to vote for three.
Yeah.
So I, as an ATEENEE, had to vote for two additional groups
mm-hmm.
in addition to ATEEZ. And you know, honestly, my choices are the same as Stray Kids, right? Like, I gotta vote for B2B and Icon or something because
I consistently voted ATEEZ, B2B and Icon, no matter what. Those were my
three
groups.
I think that's what I
voted
too.
With all of my accounts.
And I am pretty sure that the only votes that B2B and Icon got were from these other fandoms because I don't think their fandoms were voting.
Mm.
I just don't think those fandoms cared.
Not in the same way that, because Icon's fans were streaming.
Yeah.
They always got second place for streaming. They were always had the second most streams.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was ATEEZ, and then it was the boys, and then B2B mm-hmm. and SF9 were always towards the bottom. And it was the same for every single time. It never changed.
Right. Because this wasn't a general public hit. Like, the public wasn't, you know, watching and choosing the best stages. Mm-hmm. fandoms were just, so we were just seeing fandom power play out. We weren't mm-hmm. seeing a general population picking the best stage. It was just yeah. about fandom power in those categories. Mm-hmm.
And it is really difficult to know why exactly Kingdom flopped the way that it did just from day one.
Yeah, it was never popular.
Like, I don't know why Road to Kingdom was such a big deal, but then Kingdom mm-hmm. comes out and everyone's like, I'm over it. I feel like perhaps they got burnt out on Road to Kingdom because it was so emotional and was just so much. And maybe a lot of people are like, I don't want to do that again.
I mean, my theory is that the general public didn't feel like this was a show for them. They felt like it was a show for fandoms.
Yeah.
Because those shows that were, the groups that were on Road to Kingdom didn't have huge fandoms that they mm-hmm. were dealing with. Like, yeah. you could see different things play out. But, like, this was a show for these big groups. And for a long time, the general public in Korea has not had a lot of interest in these big groups, mm-hmm. the big boy groups.
They just like BTS and Seventeen,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. So if you weren't one of those two, you were basically out of luck. So I think the fact that we didn't have the general public watching does affect the ratings a lot, like the ratings of the groups a lot, because I think we would have seen B2B and Icon ranking higher consistently than they did.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think, you know, Stays still would have been in charge the whole time.
I agree.
Like
they were. I mean,
like, I just don't think there was any way around that. I do think, though, that what could have helped is a very simple thing, which is where you don't announce the results at the end of the show. You don't do yeah. the results until you get all of the tabulations together.
Right.
So people don't know who has won and they don't know who to vote against. Knowing right. who to vote against was, I think, the number one flaw. No, number two flaw. The number one flaw was making everybody vote for three groups. The number two flaw was announcing the scores at the end of the show, you know, which I guarantee that did cause more people to vote. So, you know, Mnet did make a lot more money off of that
yeah.
because they own the Who's Fan app. But it was just a nightmare every time. Mm-hmm.
But we don't get those results yet. So no. we don't know that at the end of episode three. At the end of episode three, ATEEZ is first, and that's mm-hmm. what we know. We are sent yeah. off to vote.
Yes. And it was a nice high moment.
Yeah, and ATEEZ is so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they also look close to tears, which is better because they look close to tears in, like, a good way. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the cry from joy as opposed to sadness. Mm-hmm. That's fun. That's nice.
Yeah.
But they look incredibly happy. Watching this episode, it's hard not to worry about Yoonho, though. And I made a comment about this. His hands are, like, mm-hmm. always shaking.
Mm.
And every time they put the camera on Yoonho, his, like, little hands are shaking. And I don't know if it's mm-hmm. dehydration, exhaustion, too much caffeine.
Mm. Probably but all his, three.
Yeah, because he's, like, there are four of them recording Imitation. But Yoonho mm-hmm. definitely has a much bigger part in Imitation than mm-hmm. Sungwon, Sandu.
Yeah.
Jungho has a big part in Imitation. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I would say that I know that Yoonho's the second male lead, but I do think Jungho and Yoonho have almost equivalent amounts of screen time.
I feel like Jungho might have more screen time than Yoonho does, honestly.
He's at least
just by
in the
virtue of being
more.
Part of, yeah, yeah, being part of the big group.
Yeah.
So he has more to do in the show than mm-hmm. Yoonho, who really only shows up when we need him to do something stupid and stalk Maha.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that the actress that, the Imitation Corner, did you see that the actress that played Maha recently mentioned that Yoonho is one of her idol friends? I'm like, I'm sorry, y'all are still keeping in touch after that nightmare? Okay.
Well, I too would want to keep in touch with Yoonho, so.
I would too, so
God bless him. Mm-hmm. I feel like at the end of Imitation Chat, we had like an MVP's corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, biggest loser. Should we add mm-hmm. that to our Imitation Chat as a way to
end
it?
I don't know that I'm not like an MVP and biggest loser, but maybe like a, what if we pick like our top three or top two little precious moments? Like little moments inside of the show that we just thought were so cute.
They at some point ask Jungho if how he thinks they're gonna do.
Oh yeah.
And he like tries to come up with an answer. I don't even think he was listening to the question.
He was so checked out for so much of this, like really just
he starts to say a couple of words and then it just devolves into a giggle and he's like, I don't know.
I can't do it.
I can't do this.
And then I think Changbin walks over and he's like, whisper it in my ear. Uh-huh. And then they never tell us what he said. We'll never know.
Uh-huh. And then, like, I think, like, Song was behind him, just, like, patting him on the shoulder. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay, Jung-ho.
Yeah. There is a part where Woo-young is trying to tease Changbin about something. Mm. And Song was like, no, dude, there are seniors. I need you to calm down. And Woo-young's like, I'm here. I did come here to make friends. Like, that's why I'm here.
I'm here for the party. Mm-hmm. And they don't want Woo-young to have his party. And I feel
they
like
they don't want Woo-young to have his party. One of the things that B2B's Peniel talked about in like a Dive Studios podcast episode was that they were not allowed to interact with the other groups like at all, like behind the scenes because of COVID regulations. Mm. So like there's only one time where we see, I think it's SF9 getting ready to perform and they pass by Icon.
Yeah.
And they have like a super brief interaction. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Icon, one of the Icon members is friends with one, Bobby. I think maybe Chani from
Chani,
SF9. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and you, like that was what everybody wanted from Kingdom. We just, mm-hmm. that was like, we wanted good performances and we wanted to see these groups interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And we finally get that eventually, but it takes a long time to get to that. Like right now, it's just, I wonder if I were going to redo, if I were going to fix Kingdom, mm-hmm. I think what I would have done was I would have started with group interactions.
Yeah.
We would have done some sort of like an icebreaker kind of thing.
The first episode should have been way less awkward. That was, and I mean, when do those Korean rankings come in? Did the general population turn on this episode and turn it off after 5 minutes because they just couldn't? Because that's how I felt. I was like, I just can't.
Maybe they turned it on. They were like, well, that's not the vibe for me. Thanks. We could do least favorite moments, I suppose.
I mean, I think what we should do is worst editing. Mm. Like the biggest loser
most
for editing.
Egregious editing. Mnet's choice. Mnet is the biggest loser because
uh-huh. Mnet is always the biggest loser in this. Mm-hmm. And like any complaint I have about the groups, which I don't really have any, but it's mm-hmm. always like an editing issue. Like, why did the editor do that? Mm-hmm. And for me, the biggest loser is Mnet's choice to have the boys not do any practice for their 15 mm-hmm. minutes. Because every group gets like a 15 minutes. We see all the groups rehearsing, doing something for their song. We see the boys go underwater and mm-hmm. Sunwoo have a panic attack. And for me, that is the most egregious thing that the editors do.
I do wonder if they had done a lot more filming. Mm-hmm. And then when they sent all the footage to Mnet, Mnet was like, nah, man, let's just do this water for all this time. We're going to really build a narrative here.
Uh-huh. I sent it to one of my Du Bois friends, and she said that Sunwoo is the most popular member of the boys. Mm. And so that could be why Mnet's like, well, let's focus up. mm-hmm. See what mm-hmm. Sunwoo's up to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty clear. I think my beef with Mnet, there's the thunder. My beef with Mnet is the way that they really hyper focus on just a couple members of each group. Mm-hmm. Which was mm-hmm. frustrating if you're trying to get to know these groups. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to mm-hmm. figure out who's who. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there are two boys on the boys that I see mm-hmm. a lot. You see Ju-yeon a lot.
And Eric is always there.
I don't know which one that is.
He's got kind of like the dark purple highlights.
Not helpful.
Mm, sorry. I just feel like Eric is there constantly. I'm like, oh, and here's mm-hmm. Eric again. Mm-hmm. Q's there a lot. Mm. And that's it.
So you're just going to disprove my point, like, straight out the gate? I feel like with Stray Kids, there are more Stray Kids that they focus on. I feel like there's a lot of Han, there's a lot of Bangchan, there's a lot of Felix, and there's a lot of Chung. Maybe a little less Changbin, but some Changbin in there. But mm-hmm. the other three, whose names I could not tell you, Sungmin, I think, and Ayen, and then there's another one.
Ian basically is not in this show,
who
as far as
that?
I can tell.
I don't know who that is. Hyunjin. Hyunjin, by the way, had gotten in a bullying controversy. And at this point, he hadn't been, like, he wasn't ever kicked out of the group because obviously he's still part of the group. But he was put on hiatus. He wasn't on hiatus yet when they filmed it, but he was on hiatus when it aired. So in the editing, they try to cut him out as much as possible. So he's basically, he's there, but he's not there. Same thing with, you know, the host who was breaking COVID curfew.
I think by the time they do this stage, Hyunjin is out.
No, he's there.
No, he's there. Not in the very first stage. But by the time they get to, like, the introduction stage, Hyunjin performs in. But I don't think he performs in the second stage. I feel like you should look it up because I'm almost 100% positive that he doesn't perform there. Because he's, like, when they're with the group, pre-talking, they don't even cut him out. Like, they show the full group and he's not sitting with them. There's only seven members there. So I think by the time they record the second stage, or the real first stage, the to the world stage, I think he is.
I think I am thinking of the introduction that he is in, but they are
cutting in the introduction,
him out.
But they, they do cut him. Like, he doesn't say, I am sure that at filming time, Hyunjin did say something. Like, I'm sure he was actually, you know, participating in that first episode. But those editors completely rip him out of that first episode. They've tried to, like, keep the camera far away from him. He might as well not be there.
Right. But, yeah, so there's just, like, there in each group, there's just a couple that they kind of focus on. With ATs, it's mostly
Hong Jung
and Woo Young. I think just because of Woo Young's gregariousness kind of endears him to people, but he gets a lot more focus. And I kind of feel like KQ was expecting it to be San because they sent San for both of, like, the pre-show dance things that they did. But then Woo Young tends to be the one that stands out in the actual show. Just because of who he is as a person.
I mean, Hongjoong and Woo Young were my biases at first. Like, when I watched this show and then got into ATs, it was Hongjoong and Woo Young. And I do think that is because of the editing on this show. They were the two that really stood out. They were the two that were focused on. Jung Ho is out there giving his high notes, but he's not, you would not come out of this show and have any idea what Jung Ho's vibes are. I certainly didn't. Like, I watched this whole show and I was like, I guess Jung Ho's fine.
He seems okay, I guess. Very talented, but what is his personality? I don't know.
And, you know, we don't get a lot from any of the other ones. Yosang,
especially,
says two words.
he's like, listen, y'all, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting myself out here for these people. I got the show I'm working on.
I have better things.
I have better things to do, and that's what he does. And that's part of Yosang's charm, because he is very kind of shy and quiet, but also just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So you just kind of want to look at him, and that's okay. But then when he does talk, he is very hilarious, but that's just not something you're going to get in an Mnet reality competition show.
And I will say that it also makes sense for Hongjoong and Woo Young to be the most focused on for this, because they're the only ones that aren't working on something else while this is filming. Like, they're obviously promoting fireworks, but the others are literally performing or recording in a drama, and then you have Yosang, who's got the show. So, like, they're all actively engaged in something else. So anytime you have to have those behind the scenes, it makes sense that it's mostly Hongjoong and Woo Young doing them, because they're the ones that have the free time, I say, with a lot of
when they do that thing with Hongjoong and San and Woo Young, San looks so tired and so checked out.
Yeah.
And, like, barely holding it together. I'm like, why did they make him be on this part? Let him go to bed. He's dying.
I think they do focus on Hongjoong and Woo Young. But, you know, in a way that totally makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, mad about that. I think they made a good choice as far as, like, who they're going to kind of pick to represent the group. I just find it frustrating as a viewer when I'm trying to get to know who these other people are. Like, there is no individual person. I was about to say individual character introduction. You don't really get that from the show.
There is only one boy in Icon as far as Mnet is concerned, and it's weirdly not Bobby.
It's Jimin. It is.
Yeah, that's the only boy in Icon.
I do not know who the other ones are still. I'm like, well,
one of them looks like Eden, and I enjoy
that. Yes.
So
and he has a very pleasant vibe.
He does.
B2B members, I did figure out who all of them are because there are only four, so it wasn't that difficult. And then it goes down to three at one point.
Mm-hmm. But you know, as far as Mnet's concerned, only Minhyuk and Unkwang are here. There's only four of them, and yet they still manage to be like, it's just those.
It's
two.
Just these two.
And I do think Minhyuk is the hottest man in K-pop. I've gone on record saying that. I think he's the hottest man in K-pop. So totally makes sense for Mnet to focus.
I was already an ATEEZ before I came into Kingdom, but when I left Kingdom, I was a Minhyuk stan.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I will follow him to the ends of the earth, I suppose.
Yeah. If he asked me to do something, I'd do it.
Immediately.
So.
We need to wrap this thing up. Do we want to just end with Minhyuk being the hottest man in K-pop and just leave it at that?
Oh, should we go back to doing our patron saints for the week? That's how we started. So we're going to wrap it up with our patron saints of the week. We're actually recording on Tuesday, so we already have these picked.
Yeah, it is weird. So. I already picked mine. My patron saint this week is Hongjoon. Hongjoon is always a gamble. You don't know if you're going to get like his dedicated, studious, focused mode or if you're going to get his goblin mode. And the last couple times I've picked him, I've gotten the goblin mode, but I'm really hoping for studious mode to kick in. Because I got stuff I need to do.
I think this episode is coming out in like 2 months. So this will be very,
very old
and irrelevant. But this is the week of ATEEZ's Lemon Drop comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have traditionally always chose Jungho for comeback week. Because we go to all these events and I want to carry my Jungho doll around and have the spirit of my ult bias coursing through my veins, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I normally pick Jungho during comeback week. So I did ultimately decide to go with Jungho this week as well. I did consider Eden because I've got a lot of stuff to get done. So I thought maybe I'd pull out the big guns. And I also considered Hongjoon for the same reason because a lot of it's creative work. And I was like, I need some creative energy. But, you know, Jungho also has creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think of his beautiful painting.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Jungho into Lemon Drop with me.
All right, then. So I guess we will see you in 2 weeks with episodes 4 and 5
of Kingdom. The theme is
Reborn. The theme is Reborn.
Reborn. But they haven't told us what that means yet.
Right. So we're going to get all of that when we get into episode 4.
All right. See you then. Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, you can email us at oldontini@gmail.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.
Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.